RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
P on the mic.
Wednesday morning, MP on the mic. What's up? Halfway through the week, right? That's what we say on Wednesdays. I don't think we're actually halfway through the week, though. That's all right. We got time. We'll figure it out. Abbreviated summer weeks, we like that. We'll be laying low for the next month, but we'll be in here talking sports, everything going on. Big night in the NBA and NHL last night. I love it because the two good finishes, but they staggered just enough that I could watch them both. Y'all know I ride with the puck, right? I'm hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But the intermission was perfectly timed to watch the end of the basketball.
That's just how you want it.
Very smooth transition. That's as a viewer, that's also why I'm forever against streaming. It says you can't channel surf as well in the streaming. You can't do it. Can't flip back and forth. Big win for the Timberwolves. Extend that series. Last night they'll head back to Minnesota for a Game 5. Panthers send it back to New York. Knotted 2 apiece in the NHL. We'll give you the latest in college sports land. $21 million a school to spend on the athletes, back pay. What's going on this week? What's being negotiated behind closed doors? We'll talk about that at 10:30. I realized we did not tell the Garfield story yesterday, so we'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll also check in with Mike Svetitz in the 11 o'clock hour. Feel like we also need to note that the Pandas are back in D.C. I bring the scorn on myself as the number one Panda hater. When the Pandas left, like, people were crying, and I kind of did a couple fist pumps on the situation, and people were mad at me. I'm walking right back into the Hornets' nest.
Here we go.
Pandas are back in D.C.
Okay.
The Chinese were buying pandas from them for the amusement of our citizens.
Okay.
They don't do anything. They're cute. I get it. They're cute.
They're adorable.
They don't do anything.
No, they eat bamboo.
They sit there.
They sit.
And they just sit there.
And look pretty.
Give me chimpanzees any day.
Oh, yeah.
They do things.
Throw poop at you.
Exactly. What a show.
That's the draw.
I have no problems with pandas being part of the zoo.
Yeah.
Why are we paying millions of dollars to China for pandas? That's not...
I couldn't tell you.
Also, we made a whole theme park out of dead dinosaurs, and we can't just make our own pandas? What are we doing as a society here?
Very true.
I'm aware it's not a documentary, but still, how are our top scientists not able to get us a lab-grown panda at this juncture?
I think they're very focused on Charlotte the Stingray right now.
We'll get to Charlotte the Stingray. That story was bananas. Big animal show. Big animal-themed show. I want to start in the NFL where everybody's making their roster moves. Things are shaking out. This is a no-practice week in D.C. for the Commanders. They'll come back next week, 2 weeks of work before they take their summer break. I did see where the NFL, the players, and this is what surprised me, the players are proposing changing the workout calendar so that they don't do this two-month block of work, take summer break, then come back for training camp. They want to push it all. So when the season ends, the players want to go home day after the Super Bowl, as they do, and then not come back until mid-June when they come back and do everything. So do this work now in June, roll it into training camp at the end of July. The coaches, I can tell you, hate this because they enjoy having a summer break because many of them have families. I'm curious. So the players generally don't ever get anything they ask for because the owners run the show in football. This feels like a thing that the owners can give them that means nothing to them. Like, Josh Harris doesn't have to be out there for practice in June. Like, and who cares what the coaches think? It feels like if the players actually want this, it's more likely to happen than not happen because the owners give the players so little ever. Like, it just feels like this is like the bare minimum they can do. And then next time he's like, hey, we're going to play a 28-game season next year. Like, wow, that sounds really unsafe. Yeah, but remember that time we moved the summer schedule for you? Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, fine. That's how pro football works. Those are the dynamics. I'll be curious to see. That wouldn't start until next year, obviously, because we're well underway this year. I love this stat. Our guy JP Finley up in D.C. flagged this. Brian Robinson was talking last week, Commanders running back. He was talking about how essentially last year they didn't use a lot of no-huddle offense, which was true. 8% of their plays came out of the no-huddle. And to rewind this, you use the no-huddle if the quarterback is empowered to say, I like what I just saw, let's do it again. We're not going to huddle. We're not going to substitute. We're going to do that again. Now, you don't have to run the same play, obviously. He can change the play at the line of scrimmage. But a lot of time, in the Peyton Mannings, the great ones, it was a sequential thing. They'd run a play, and it might be like a three-yard run, and then he'd go no huddle. He'd be like, why are we running that back? What he saw was something on the outside. One of his receivers had a great matchup the way it played out, and he wanted to run that back real quick, would call the play at the line. So you got two things here as we untangle that. One is Sam Howell had a lot on his plate, and he was laying on the ground most of the time, which is a tough place to call no huddle from. It's hard to call no huddle when you're not standing upright. That was a Sam Howell problem last year. I don't think it was a mental capacity issue at all. I think he was capable of doing the no huddle, which leads us to part two. I think we're learning more and more that Eric Bieniemy was not a good offensive coordinator. And I wouldn't have even agreed with that statement in week 12 and week 13 when the wheels were falling off because there were so many other bigger problems. But I do think that Eric Bieniemy was holding the offense back in a lot of ways and was not useful for the offense. So you bring in Cliff Kingsbury, who my thoughts on are well known, but Cliff Kingsbury ran no huddle in Arizona 34% of the time. He lived at him. And Brian Robinson was talking last week about how this is going to be something they do more of and something they add. Now, the truth's probably in the middle. You probably don't want Jaden Daniels running no huddle 34% of the time, but I think the dude can handle it. I think he can handle anything you throw at him in that regard. There is that rookie jump where in college, they're holding the plays up for you on cards. They can communicate with you through to the snap. You're not going to get that in the pros. He's going to have to do a lot of the processing. But everything we've heard, everything we've seen has been very impressive in that regard, for sure. His ability to command the team, command the huddle, drop the plays, do the thing, all of that's been very good. So that's the Commanders update from the NFL. The Houston Texans, I mean, they signed Nico Collins to a three-year extension yesterday. We talk about the Commanders being this year's Texans, right? Because that's the dream. Hey, can we be this year's Houston Texans? Team that was really bad, number two overall pick in the draft, turned that into a 10-win season, a playoff appearance. And My hunch is always no, not that it's impossible, but it's very unlikely. Look at the weapons they've assembled in Houston, by the way. This is how you do it with a young quarterback. I hope Washington's taking notes. And I think they are, because I think they made some good signings. I think Austin Eckler's a good signing. You know, need the third receiver. Houston may have the best top three receivers in the whole league now. They signed Nico Collins to a three-year extension yesterday. Just a great year for him last year. Of course, they made the trade. They got Stephon Diggs from the Bills. They'll have him this year. Tank Dell, Joe Mixon at running back, Dalton Schultz at tight end. That might be, I mean, you may put that group up of skill players up against anybody. They're making C.J. Stroud's life a lot easier. Now, your concern there, right, is Stephon Diggs, a little bit of a diva. Is that going to cause friction because those other four guys are equal stakeholders in needing the football? This is not going to be a feed Stephon Diggs situation, because they always did that in Buffalo, and it always drove me nuts. Anytime he was on the sideline, you saw him like throwing a fit about, you're not throwing me the ball enough. Next possession, next drive, Josh Allen would always throw him the ball at least twice. And just maybe that was the parent in me, like, don't reward the behavior. Don't do it. No. He's whining, and then you throw him the ball. Don't do it. But I don't think he's going to get that in Houston. I think he's going to have to learn to share. With Dell, Diggs, Mixon, Schultz, it's a loaded lineup in Houston. Early on, we're very early, but I think the Jaguars have kind of been the consensus team to beat out of the South for the last few years, and it's not them anymore. It's Houston. Let's talk about teams that aren't good, too, because that's always more fun. Denver, I love everything about Sean Payton. And a running Russell Wilson out of town, he couldn't wait to run Russell Wilson out of town. He had the number 12 draft pick. What could go wrong? What could have gone wrong was everybody in front of him took a quarterback, and he was left trying to explain how he was the world's number one Bo Nix stan, and what he really wanted in life was Bo Nix at number 12. That was his dream, and now he's lived it. Here's Sean Payton on the Broncos quarterback room.
It's kind of the orphan group. You know, all of them they're all orphan dogs. You know, they've come from somewhere, but they're doing good, and it's a good room.
All right, so that's Bo Nix, who he went to a lot of colleges. Everybody goes to a lot of colleges now. I guess he's an orphan dog because he's the one who didn't belong in that group of first quarterbacks selected. The reason they say that is because he didn't belong in that first group of quarterbacks selected. You've got Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham, you remember, was the next Tom Brady for a hot minute in New England. To be fair, there were a lot of next Tom Bradys. That was a lot of people wore that title for about a year and never got heard from again. Well, Jarrett Stidham's now right in the mix as Denver Broncos backup quarterback. Here's Jarrett Stidham on being labeled an orphan dog.
You mentioned it today, and I just kind of let him go with it, you know, so I didn't know where it came from. So yeah, it's whatever he says for sure.
All right, the one though, Zach Wilson, he's an orphan dog. Zach Wilson got drafted to the New York Jets, franchise savior. Leading up to the draft, this is not hindsight. Leading up to the draft, many, many scouts, many, many people are on the like, you can't take that kid. He's not mature. Like, in a way, you don't have, there's always that noise, and there were the stupid stories about Jay and Dan's, like, his mom's really involved. Like, it wasn't that. It was like, oh no, like, he is red, he is color shaded red on our draft board. I mean, like, literally, we won't draft him. If he is available in the seventh round, we won't draft him. You know, top 10 talent, we've shaded him red. We will not take him at any spot in the draft. Jets took him. It didn't go well. So they did the logical thing. They bought him a nice Aaron Rodgers to learn for a year behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers messed up his knee. Zach Wilson comes in. It was an unbearable month of football to watch as an American who enjoys football. I don't say that lightly. Now, Zach Wilson is in Denver and has a very plausible shot to be the Denver Broncos starting quarterback on a team where they could have had Russell Wilson, but instead are paying $38 million to not have Russell Wilson. I love the Denver Broncos so much. Here's Zach Wilson on being an orphan dog.
I mean,
we've gone through it, right? I mean, you can see why it's been 3 years of tough challenges, but at the end, that's what makes you stronger, and you just need somebody to believe in you and believe in yourself and be able to just keep working hard and getting better.
If you were an orphan dog, what kind of dog would you be?
Ooh, I'm a husky guy. I like huskies. I've got a couple huskies at home. Tender, tender loving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Things are happening in Denver. I like the balance because I obviously the Chiefs are going to be very good. I think the Chargers will be very good. You pair Harbaugh with Justin Herbert. That's going to be a good team this year. I don't know what to make of the Raiders. I think the players play hard for Antonio Pierce. I don't think that's fundamentally a good team, but I think they'll be competitive. You always need that balance. You always need that. You need the SEC needs Vanderbilt, right? You need the ACC needs Boston College. You always need that team to provide the comic relief and to pull us back down. And running, it's the Wednesday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. We'll be giving away tickets all week. I could do this. I could talk on the radio. It's my job. We'll be giving away tickets all week to the Down on the Farm Wing Fest at Hanover Vegetable Farm. That's June 15th. That's the day before Father's Day, that Saturday. I wanted to tell this story yesterday. Twitter rarely entertains me to this degree, and this was a great story. It's Joey Clift is his name. He says he's a writer for Netflix scripted shows. I have no reason not to believe Joey on that. It seems like a weird thing to lie about. Seems to check out. He's got pictures. So this isn't AI.
No,
this
he's definitely real.
How I got into an intense late-night standoff this weekend over the Garfield-themed hotel room at the Motel 6 near the Los Angeles airport.
So much to unpack there.
That's a big sentence. That's a sentence that makes promises about the story that's coming.
Yep.
All of which are delivered on. There was a Garfield movie this weekend, which Indeed. Became a thing because, what's the sand movie?
Furiosa.
Thank you. It didn't flop. But it didn't meet expectations.
It didn't meet Garfield.
That's what happened. That's what happened over the weekend. More people were in on Garfield, apparently. Like, yeah, Furiosa was supposed to do big numbers.
Yeah.
And then in the end, people went to watch Garfield instead. I would rather see Furiosa, but hey, you know, I'm not a cat person. So.
Well, I think what we've learned from this thread is that people are way more into Garfield.
Look, there are adult Disney people, right?
That's true. Yeah.
There are like adult cartoon people. SpongeBob, you know, like has adult fans.
Yep.
I'm a Bluey sucker. Like you put me in front of Bluey, I'm just there weeping my eyes out. Like I, you know, and I'm an adult. I would have told you there are not adult Garfield fans to that degree who ride that hard for Garfield. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
He's a fat cat that eats lasagna and hates Mondays. That's my knowledge base on Garfield.
That's it.
There's a yellow dog.
Yeah.
Odie.
I believe so.
Great. And he's got an owner.
Uh-huh.
I still get the printed newspaper on Sundays. Garfield's in there. He's still in there.
He's a staple.
He's still fat. He's still eating lasagna.
He's still fat. John and Garfield.
John and Garfield still doing their thing. To be clear, I don't have a bone to pick with Garfield. I didn't realize he was this popular. Garfield, mega popular. You know, you see the dolls that stick on people's cars and things. Mega popular. Garfield movie, one of the sponsors was Motel 6. And in select Motel 6s, they had a Garfield-themed room. And there's a picture of it, and I would just describe this as a Motel 6 room with an orange bedspread, an orange refrigerator, and a lot of plush Garfield dolls and some posters.
Yeah.
Is that a fair descriptor here?
There are pizza blankets on the bed as well, which I feel like we can't forget about.
Sure. Like, they did a nice job with it without it being like...
I mean, it's a Motel 6 room.
Like, so, talking about things I'm not... Like, I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. I like Star Wars. We went to Disney World. We went on the Star Wars ride.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. Like, the theming, the way it makes you feel like you're there, and like, respect it. I'm like, you know, Star Wars fans are like, I cried when I was on the ride. I was like, okay, like, I didn't cry, but I see why you cried. Like,
yeah.
This, you feel like you're there. I can't say that this hotel room makes me feel like I am in the Garfield universe. I don't think that's what's happening here in the Motel 6 Garfield Suite. Joey booked the Motel 6 Garfield Suite, though, the night of the premiere weekend of the movie. So big, big time, obviously. Gets to the front desk at the Motel 6 LAX, and the person is chatting with him and then says, "What? We double booked the room." And he writes, "And then we saw, two counters over, a Garfield fan absolutely covered in Garfield arm tattoos. This Garfield fan showed up at the exact same time as us with an equally valid reservation to the one Garfield room in all of Los Angeles County. It was a standoff. It was tense. The employees didn't know what to do. They offered us a non-Garfield suite, which was a no-go."
Obviously.
We're working our way down the conflict resolution checklist there. Yeah, no, you can't. No, nobody like, "Yeah, I'll just stay in a regular Motel 6 room." That's
not right. I've come here dressed in all of my Garfield swag. And I'll stay in a normal room.
"They then offered me the only night when the room wasn't booked, which was a Monday, by which my Garfield t-shirt with F Mondays written on it was made clear was even less of an option."
It was right there.
"The employees were in over their heads. After 30 minutes of escalation, tears on both sides, and stressed employees, I said, 'If you give us a refund and let us take selfies in the room, we'll call it good.'" There is a picture of him and his girlfriend in the Garfield hotel room at the Motel 6. I looked. There is not a Garfield hotel room at any Richmond Motel 6s.
Or we would be doing the show from there.
It would be a live on location show.
Yeah.
From the Garfield hotel room.
Motel 6.
I guess what I learned is there are adults who are way into Garfield.
Yes.
That's an I don't want to judge other people for the things they enjoy because you know, people enjoy Japanese anime or whatever. Like, yeah,
live
your life. It's just, why Garfield? What's resonating here with Garfield?
What isn't resonating?
Garfield is resonating with the country of quiet quitting. Garfield is, if nothing else, the mascot for quiet. He's been in the comic strips for years, still hasn't done a thing.
Nope.
No?
No, he takes his naps.
Still there.
Yeah.
I love it. He's back. The pandas are back. Garfield's back.
Garfield was never gone.
Laziness. Garfield was never gone, apparently, I guess. Laziness is in right now. When we get back, we'll talk about the latest going on in college sports land. Big money flying around everywhere. This settlement, amateurism is officially dead. Last night, the Minnesota Timberwolves sent this series back to Minneapolis. And we had a promise made. Anthony Edwards told Micah Parsons, "I'll see you back in Dallas for game 6. We'll dive into all that. It's Wednesday. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. I'd say it's been an eventful Wednesday show. We always enjoy that. Garfield, stingrays, orphan dogs.
I mean,
we've had it all. We've had it all. We've had some sports mixed in as well. NFL updates for you. You know, I did not mention yesterday that Angel Hernandez retired from Major League Baseball. Maybe this is a double conspiracy corner. We won't play the sounder twice in a show, but he was the worst Major League Baseball umpire by a sizable margin, to the extent that when I say Angel Hernandez, people actually know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Baseball people are like, "Oh, the bad umpire," which is not good. If you know the name of a referee or umpire, it's generally not good. I can only think of one exception to that rule: Ed Hockley. That's it. That's all I've got. But he had the guns. That's why he was famous. So, yeah, if they know your name and you're there to officiate the sport, bad sign.
There's some celebratory tweets about his retirement.
A lot of celebratory tweets about his retirement. But it happened in the middle of May on a holiday weekend. We are in the middle of the baseball season. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
There's a time to retire from baseball. And there's a time when it would be kind of weird to retire from baseball. And it happened during the kind of weird portion of the schedule. And he had already botched some pretty high-profile calls already this year. He's kind of been argument number one for the robot umpires, which I am actually not against robot umpires calling balls and strikes. I'm anti-instant replay because it stops the game. Anything we can do quick in real time, though, I'm good with, right? Like, If you can have the balls and strikes and we can do it in real time, you got the ump still announcing them, which I think is a big part of it, and he's got the autonomy to overrule it, I'm good with that. I don't have a major problem with that. It's when you stop and you have a challenge system, I don't like that. The only challenge system I'm moderately okay with is tennis, because it's so fast. We all look at the board, we get the answer, we move on with our lives, which is funny because Howard Fendrick is the tennis writer for the Associated Press. So he goes to the four Grand Slams every year. He knows more tennis than probably anybody. And I told him that once in the Commander's press box, and he said, oh yeah, tennis people hate that. I said, oh, why?
Interesting.
He said, they all think it's fake, that it's not actually correct. Like it presents itself as being so authoritative. He said, you talk to the athletes, they all think it's a crock. Okay. Well, I guess there's
no questions. We're moving on.
I guess there's no perfect system. I will miss the art of framing a pitch by the catcher. I think that's an underrated baseball skill that's cool. But if it frees us up to have more sluggers in the lineup, more offense, I think people agree that's a trade-off we can make. We can dive into that another time, though. What matters is Angel Hernandez is retiring. So we have to dust off this classic clip from when the Chicago White Sox won the game, but Angel Hernandez botched the call at first base.
Uh-oh. Can't get him. No!
He was safe at first.
No!
Well, Angel Hernandez blew the call, and the infield being back should have cost him the game. It didn't. Right there, he's safe.
He is safe.
He does not have the ball.
And another blown call by Hernandez.
Jason Benetti, Chicago White Sox TV network there. No! It's that you think the no's are done, and then he hits you with another. Bam! We're not done with the no's. No!
No!
No! Forget about it. The Washington Post, I promised you the Washington Post survey results. The Washington Post spent time, money, both, presumably, asking people if they like the name Washington Commanders. I will not be spending any time asking anybody that because I know the answer. But now, thanks to public polling, we know the answer. This is a Char School poll of 1,683 adult residents of the Washington, D.C. area, including 640 who self-identify as Washington Commanders fans. The margin of error is plus or minus 3.2 percentage points. They asked, the Washington Commanders name, do you love it, like it, dislike it, or hate it? Commanders fans were most likely to say that they love the name Commanders. That makes sense. That's their team. Of Commanders fans, 4% of them said they love the name Washington Commanders. I don't know this for a fact. We'd have to brainstorm on this. That's got to be the lowest of any professional sports team anywhere in America.
Feels extremely low.
By a really big margin. They're like, if you went... And I'm sure the renaming teams are the ones you'd go to, right? If you went to Cleveland, do you like Guardians? There would be a lot of people, no, I want the old name back, right? I get that. It just, 4 just feels aggressively tiny. Like, so much so that you can't ignore it at this point.
Yeah.
How tiny of a percentage that is. 36% dislike it, 21% hate it, 32% like it. Are willing to deal with it. Commanders fans were asked, should they keep the name or should they change the name? Not back. We go over this every time we do the segment. It's not going back. 17% said they would like them to keep the name Commanders. Interestingly, 17% also would favor a move back to Washington Football Team, which I think is underrated. I also don't think that's going to happen because you can't trademark it. It's actually too generic, which from a merchandising and making back the $6 billion you spent on the team perspective is not tenable. It doesn't make it not a good name. It's a good name, especially if you mix in like a Hogs around it and, you know, some other stuff like it. But you've got You've got a lot of people quoted here. The only thing they definitively say is they won't return to the former name. They're not, nobody's closing the door on change of the name. And you know I think they're going to change the name with the new stadium when they get the new stadium set for a full reset a few years down the line when they've got all their things here. Now, we do hear from Jason Wright, who is still the team's president. You remember he was hired under Dan Snyder. He's still around as the team's president. He says that they would not associate with any Native American iconography. Now, I think that's the extreme position here. I think there's room in the middle, although the Dan Quinn shirt certainly generated a lot of controversy for a few days. I think there's room in the middle to have Native American iconography while not going back to the name Redskins. That's gone. Like, the people who say that are hurting the entire cause of changing the name. When you put your feet down, you're like, that's the only name I like. All right, you don't get a voice here. Move on. Because it's not happening. I get you have strong feelings about it. I talk to a lot of these fans every day. Which is, at some point, we have to work towards the logical middle ground solution here, which I think can involve Native American iconography if done correctly and appropriately and respectfully. As we've noted on this show many times, the big problem here being Native American groups is not a block unit of people. There are hundreds of Native American nations. They all feel very different about it. That's what makes that tricky. Not, you know, how do Native Americans feel about it? Like, this, they're not united behind a thing. The other interesting thing from this poll was they asked, which local teams are you a fan of? And they say the Washington Nationals are the most popular team in D.C. Now, I am not here to dispute the Washington Post. I don't doubt that a lot of people said that. I think we're catching a lot of, like, yeah, I like the Washington Nationals. They're our baseball team. Can you name a player on the Washington Nationals? Well, no, but they're our local baseball team, so go team. Like, I hope they win. It's different. It's different with the Commanders. I've been in this for a while. There is nobody in the D.C. area, you know, that there's not a team that engenders the fervor that the Commanders do. The fans of the Commanders feel it day in and day out in a way that the Nationals have never built a fan base that does and won't while they're playing the way they will. I like the roster. It's young. It's cool. The Capitals, it's just hockey's just never going to be a number one sport in an American city that doesn't border Canada. They're a great team. You know I love watching them. You know I ride with the puck. It's not going to be. The Wizards would have a fighting chance if they had done anything for the last three decades. Like, D.C. is a really good basketball town. Certainly, the college legacy of Maryland basketball and Georgetown basketball speaks for itself. The Ewing-Sampson game was in D.C. D.C. is a very good basketball town. The Wizards are just dragging. They're fourth in the poll, by the way. I didn't have to tell you that. They're fourth out of the four teams in the poll. They're dragged down by just really not being good or interesting or compelling in any way. I think, on the whole, the Commanders are still Washington's team. And I think you have a lot of people who's, I don't care. Like, the louder you say you don't care, the more you actually care. And that's the tough part. That's what we've got to work through here. How do we bring those people back to the table and get them back in a positive? Because they've had so many negative experiences at FedEx Field. There have been so many people who have had such negative experiences. Got to get a new stadium. Got to get a better team. Jaden Daniels panning out would be a massive boost to these polls and how people feel about the Commanders. That's what it's going to take, and it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a while. We got to step aside. Two segments to go. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio, noon to 3. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Wednesday morning, MP on the mic. Mike Svetitz joins us at 11. Plenty more to get into. If you missed the Orphan Dogs, those are the Denver Broncos quarterbacks. You can grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Check in on anything you missed during today's program. A reminder, we'll have another ticket giveaway tomorrow for the Down on the Farm Wing Fest at Hanover Vegetable Farm. But we haven't done a good conspiracy corner in a while, and I found one yesterday, so I think it's time.
What's going on here?
Conspiracy theories.
a lot of conspiracy theories out there.
I don't know.
You don't know who you're messing with.
So let's get to
it. It's from the Assembly in North Carolina. North Carolina's most trusted news source on items involving fish. I don't know. What is really going on with Charlotte the Stingray? It's been months since a Hendersonville aquarium blew up the internet with its announcement of a miracle pregnancy. All right, so this is an aquarium that is not a licensed aquarium. It is an unlicensed aquarium. So this is an important piece of information to put out there.
Yep.
Out of the gate. The author, Emily Catano, she describes it as looking like a pet store in a strip mall.
It does. The pictures agree with that.
No question. Charlotte the Stingray, they announced on social media 6 months ago, is pregnant. So, congrats to Charlotte.
Woo!
The announcement said, though, that there are no male stingrays in the tank.
Yes.
So, they speculated one of two things. One, it is a miracle virgin birth. They suggested perhaps asexual reproduction.
Right.
Okay. Or number two, the father is one of the two sharks who live in the tank.
Yes.
Noting that there were shark bite marks on Charlotte around the time they discovered she was pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's a wild story. That got picked up nationally.
Of course.
Because either possibility is wild.
It's virgin birth, shark ray babies.
Either one's pretty fascinating here for sure. It's been 6 months. It takes 3 months for a stingray to give birth.
Yes.
So this author went over to see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And was welcomed with open arms?
No. Actually. I know you wouldn't believe that. They said, if you're a reporter, you can't come in. And she said, can I buy a ticket and just see Charlotte? And they said, yes, okay.
And then they called the police.
Yes, and said, we'll arrest you for trespassing.
The police said, if you go back in the aquarium, we'll arrest you. Very normal aquarium behavior.
Of course.
So they talked to veterinarians who are pointing out that, no, Charlotte is definitely not pregnant at this juncture. They are maintaining, though, that Charlotte is pregnant.
And in response, they have blocked these scientists, these naysayers.
Apparently, they've sold a lot of tickets to see the virgin birth-giving shark ray baby phenomenon.
Yeah.
We also have scientists in here who say that's not how it works. If a shark and a ray mate, it's not... What was the line?
The line was, I believe, a human and an anaconda mating would not result in a human-snake baby. A lot of things would happen, but not a human-snake baby, not a shark ray baby.
Wow. All right. We're learning a lot about biology today. So we don't know what's going on with Charlotte, is the bottom line here.
And Echo, this, which is the name of the aquarium, ECCO, would like us to know, Charlotte is a special and lovely fish. We are sharing her experience with you as a way to learn together. It is a gift. Please do not disqualify our event. She said, if you have something bad to say, keep it to yourself.
North Carolina's animal welfare laws don't apply to fish. So the government can't do anything.
Nobody's stepping in.
Nobody's stepping in. So that's a weird... Like, I do often refer to Petco as the free zoo. This is kind of taking that to the extreme. Some of the, like...
This is not free.
No. Some of the bougier malls have this, too. With, like, the little aquarium where, like, the Macy's used to be. And you can walk around. This is a new... The Lego's got one of these going on.
Huh.
Yeah. Tyson's is now, like, half stores, half experiences. Which, whatever. You got to do something. You're a mall. Like, people don't shop at malls anymore, I would guess.
They need to get a virgin birth stingray.
Regency Square Mall...
Uh-huh.
On Parham is now a pickleball, indoor pickleball, a trampoline park,
okay,
escape room,
okay,
a church, and a competition-sized pool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what Regency Square Mall is now.
Mall's got a shift.
Now, they don't have any pregnant stingrays, so this is a potential idea for the Regency people, if you're out there listening. Just know.
If you got a stingray, if you got a shark.
You can say whatever you want on social media. You can get the headlines. You don't have to follow up in any way whatsoever.
Block the haters. Block the haters.
And call the police.
And call the police.
I've had the police called on me twice while reporting, she writes. Once was a story about neo-Nazis. The other was about a stingray. It's on the assembly, what is really going on with Charlotte the Stingray. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. as with most of our conspiracy corners, there is no resolution here. There is no, we're not there yet.
Not yet.
Hour number two, I want to talk about the Washington Post, another respected news outlet, has a poll out this morning showing that D.C. area football fans still don't like the name Commanders.
What?
I would have been happy to save them the money. We could have handled this for a lot cheaper. We did not need to. This is a very scientific poll. We've got the numbers. We'll break it down. Guess in your mind which percentage of Commanders fans said they love the name Commanders. It'll probably be lower than your guess. We'll tell you at 11:15. This is MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. 11 o'clock. It's a Wednesday morning. It's MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You know what it means. It's time to bring on our guy, Mike Svetitz from Front Page Bets.
Mike Svetitz of Front Page Bets breaks down this week's lines and action in college and pro football.
Usually this is our first mention of gambling in the program, but we've already had a gambling mention today, Mike. Welcome aboard. Week one college football lines are out. The Hokies are 13.5-point favorites over Vanderbilt. I will admit, that scared me when I saw it. After last year, I'm not sure I trust the Hokies to be 13.5-point favorites over anybody. I know they're a bad SEC team, but they're still wearing the patch.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Vanderbilt, so there's something to be said. That's at least a 7-point, you know, 7-point swing. Yeah, you know, until Virginia Tech beats anybody by double digits, yeah, I might take Vanderbilt there in the plus 13.5 for sure.
Well, good news. Your picks are not due for a very long time because football's still a long ways away. It's been a couple weeks since we chatted with you. College baseball has happened in the interim. We're fired up here, of course, VCU, James Madison, and UVA all in the NCAA tournament. The Randolph-Macon story was wild. I don't know if you saw that. The kids like were running onto the field to celebrate the pop fly that was going to be the last out. When the poor kid dropped it, and the other team ended up winning, and then Randolph-Macon had to go to a third game. But they won, which is good. Right. I feel good that they won.
How bad would you have felt for the young man if they would have lost that follow-up game? You know, I know a guy, John O'Connor, was out there covering it for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And, yeah, I'm reading that story going, oh, man. But I think we're all, you know, I'm sure, I don't want to speak for John, but I'm sure everybody at that field was like, oh, this, they better come back and win. That's just one of those heartbreakers, you know?
Yep.
But I'm glad they did.
Yep, exactly. Mike Svenitz, Front Page Bets. As I mentioned, we haven't had John in a little while. Lots happened in the world of sports. What's cooking over at Front Page Bets these days?
Well, yeah, you know, you mentioned the College World Series. You know, the regionals start this week, so we've got a little College Baseball World Series out there for you, little odds. Tennessee is the favorite, you know, with I think three or four other SEC teams right behind them, speaking of the SEC. So it should be a great tournament. And you know what's fun? My nephew played college baseball at Winthrop, and you know, I was in college baseball when I was covering in Auburn, and kind of, you know, didn't follow it as much as the sports editor here in terms of coverage because we had, you know, such great writers out there. But you know, when my nephew started playing college baseball, I got kind of back into it. And there's this thing now on ESPN. It's kind of like NFL Red Zone, but I think it's called Squeeze Play, or where they take you during the regionals. They take you to every game. Like when there's, you know, whatever, like if there's about to be a score or if there's bases loaded or if there's a big part of the game, and you can watch 3 to 4 games at a time, almost NFL Red Zone style. So I'm all about that. I can't wait for that this weekend.
Absolutely. And Saturday night's the night to watch, as you know, because Saturday night's that winner's bracket game where if you win, you're one win away from the Super Regional. If you lose, you're now 3 wins away from the Super Regional.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, college baseball, you know, it's a long, 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 long season. and they're long. I think the games are even longer than the actual season, to be honest. But it does get exciting when you talk about elimination baseball, and you know, so it's good. So looking forward to that. We also, you know, the RBC Classic or the RBC Canadian Open is coming up for PGA Tour. We started even rolling out our futures odds for NFL. You talked about college football earlier, but we've got some NFL stuff out there already with some of the bigger teams, you know, that people like to talk about. So you got a lot going on here, and you know, even though it might be considered the dog days of summer, we got it all here for you from Paige Betts looking ahead for football season.
Mike, it's not that I didn't believe you, but I have spent the last few seconds Googling. It is called the squeeze play on ESPN. I mean, all the other baseball names were taken, apparently. So
I'm telling you what, I sit there and watch it, and I was watching it with my brothers and my nephew last year, and it's just like, I mean, you're just, you know, it's good stuff, man, because, you know, that's why I like the red zone. I don't have to flip around. I don't have to I just sit there and lay out for, like, you know what, 12 hours on a Sunday and just kind of just let it go. Let Scott Hansen take care of it for me. So
he's got the remote. You don't need the remote. Scott's got the remote for you. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, and Andrew Siciliano, you know, obviously, what was the other one? It was the NFL Network's deal. The other one. Well, this is when Andrew Siciliano.
It was Siciliano. He did the Sunday ticket one. The satellite people had a different red zone for a while. They don't anymore. We have standardized red zone production. So America now watches the same red zone together.
Exactly.
Mike Svetitz from Front Page Bets joining us. I love it because, you know, there's 16 sites. It's great baseball everywhere. You mentioned the games are long, which lends itself to flipping around on TV, because I know you've been caught. I've been caught in some of those rain-delayed regionals where you're there until 3 in the morning, and then you got to fire back up for a triple header the next day.
I think I know you cover college athletics. I covered it for a long time. And, you know, we've got some great stories about, you know, college football and basketball going on these. I think the most, like, PTSD inducing stories have been from covering college baseball regionals or conference tournaments. I think the first one that I ever had was when I was in college, the South Atlantic Conference, covering the South Atlantic Conference tournament. I was doing radio. And it was at Catawba College. I went to Wingate. We're doing radio for Wingate, and there was a rain delay. And the Wingate, I think it was like a quarterfinal or semifinal game, didn't start till almost 1 a.m. And so, you know, we're there all day, and God knows a bunch of college kids were saying at about 2 a.m. in the morning. You know what I mean? You know, college on radio, covering that game. I remember hearing I wasn't there, but I remember hearing a story about Louisiana Lafayette where they put the media out on card tables, basically like fold-out tables in the stands, and it was 7,000 degrees in Louisiana, you know, in early June, and that was the media spot.
That's so, hospitality.
You know, that was, you know, and then, you know, you've got some better, you know, better accommodations, but these games are long, man. It's unconscionable sometimes how long these games can be. And so we've got to speed up the game a little bit. I think they should put the pitch clock, go back to wooden bats or dead ball era in baseball. You know, it's just get off my lawn time here when it comes to the regionals.
Well, the NCAA softball does a better TV rating than the NCAA baseball. And I think that's a big part of it. It's 2 hours. It's quick. It's got action. And then you're on your way. It's like 4 hours is a commitment, Mike. You know, the Coca-Cola 600, I'm not ready to commit to 600.
It's a lot. There's a lot going on. It is a lot going on. And if you're fast, if you speed it up, people like to watch that. You know, but college baseball, it's baseball in general, I guess, right? You got diehards, and you get people who can tolerate it, and then there's people who are just, you know, wake me up when it's over. You know, and so... But the Coca-Cola 600, and that we didn't even talk about Kyle Larson and just what a disappointment that was. The double, supposed to be pulling the double, and he, you know, delayed started Indy 500. He finishes what, 16th, 18th there, and doesn't even get to run a lap at Charlotte.
And the rain in Charlotte too that messed him up on both ends, because he would have gotten a lap in at Charlotte otherwise. I hope he tries it again next year, because you need that interest, you need that excitement.
You need somebody. I think he would have been only the fifth person to do it, and there's only one person that's completed all 1,100 laps, and that was Tony Stewart back in 2001.
Yes, it was.
I mean, that's a long day of racing, and there's a lot going on. But it made me interested on Sunday in both races just to see how he would do. I think for your casual fan or for people who, you know, I think that's kind of what we need here is a little bit of excitement to see how somebody could do, you know, a feat like that.
Oh, you absolutely need that excitement for sure. Also, college baseball, the UVA press box, which was nice, was right on top of the Ben and Jerry's ice cream stand where they made. Where they made the waffle cones fresh when you ordered them. They had the little waffle iron, and they poured out the batter. And so you sat there for 12 hours on regional day smelling people eating waffle ice cream cones. So anytime I smell a waffle cone, it takes me right back to Davenport Stadium, which one of the best games I've ever seen live when they beat UC Irvine to make their first College World Series and break through and get that done. That crowd was bananas that day.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was. And that's what's cool about, I guess, if you weather the storm, so to speak, literally and figuratively, you know, when you get to the end of that a game like that, I remember, you know, Auburn and Clemson. This was mid-2000s. I think maybe it was late 2000s where there was a walk-off game three super regional to go. You know, the game ended at, you know, 4 in the morning or whatever it was, but everybody was super excited, the fans that were left, when there was that walk-off, you know, home run. But it's amazing how we can, how some of our, like, our olfactory senses especially could take us back to memories that we either like or dislike. And waffle cones, that's got to be tough to smell that for 12 hours covering college. I'm just saying.
No doubt. You mentioned Auburn. What was it I saw? Chris Davis's kid was offered a scholarship?
How old is he? He can't be but like 5 or 6.
I know there's a whole, like, we're not getting old, and then you find out you're getting old. Chris Davis returned the kick six when Alabama kicked the field goal, and he ran it back for a touchdown so Auburn beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl. I promise you that happened recently, Mike.
That was 10 years ago. Yeah, that was 2013. So, yeah, there's no way. I can't remember if his son was born or not. But, I mean, he had to be 8 then. You know, unless they're offering him, you know, in the middle school.
He is a freshman in high school.
Wow,
class of 2028 prospect.
I'm getting old, definitely.
That does mean he would have been alive at the kick six, though. Which makes me feel a little tiny bit better.
But still, 10 years ago, that's a long time. I can still remember that. And it's funny, too, because they're in Destin this week, the SEC. The first time in Destin in, what, 15 years without Nick Saban. So that's always, you know, at the SEC meetings, that's going to throw everybody for a loop. Talk about media days without Nick Saban. What's that going to be like?
I hope they can find something to talk about. I hope it's not a struggle for them. frontpagebets.com is the site. Unfortunately, our time with Mike is up, but we will be excited to join you next week. And also, feels like the right time to throw out a shout out to our guy Parney. His podcast drops today, Parney Time. Check that out when you get your podcast. I know Mike's a Parney guy too. We're all Parney guys around here.
Absolutely. Who's not?
Who's not? But frontpagebets.com for all the wagering information. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Talk soon, buddy.
All right, we're out. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.